News. Now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM Baltimore and WCBM.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Steve Knight. Authorities say they have no reason to doubt the validity of the latest ISIS beheading video. It claims that British aid worker Alan Henning was executed.
His wife Barbara had begged those holding the 47-year-old taxi driver for mercy and clemency, describing her husband as a peaceful, selfless man. But within days of her appeal, this was the response from Islamic State.
The blood of David Haynes was on your hands, Cameron. Alan Henning will also be slaughtered, but his blood is on the hands of the British Parliament.
Several senior UK-based imams had recently appealed to ISIS to free Mr. Henning. In a statement from Downing Street, the Prime Minister said, "The brutal murder of Alan Henning by ISIL shows just how barbaric and repulsive these terrorists are."
Sky News correspondent Enda Brady. President Obama also issued a statement condemning the execution.
"This is, again, yet another just a very clear example of the brutality of this group and why the president has articulated and is moving out in a comprehensive way to degrade and destroy ISIL."
Counterterrorism advisor Lisa Monaco. A hazmat team has decontaminated the Dallas apartment where a family with whom Ebola patient Thomas Duncan lived for a few days before he was hospitalized. The family, which is under quarantine until mid-month, has been moved to another residence. Health authorities have narrowed the number of people they're monitoring for signs of the disease from about 100 to 10, and they're trying to reassure the public.
"Our healthcare infrastructure in the United States is well equipped to stop Ebola in its tracks."
Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
Take an ordinary putty knife and scrape off the old wax ring. Place the new wax ring over the flange, then line up the bolts with the bowl and gently set in place, making sure a proper seal is created with the flange and drain. Next.
Dad?
Yeah, sweetie.
Is that an old plumbing manual?
Yeah, honey.
We really need to get some new books.
Right, do you want me to stop?
Nah, I kinda wanna know how it ends.
Okay, tighten the bolts, line up the flushing valve to the opening in the top of the bowl, and secure the tank with a screwdriver and crescent wrench.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It was just over a week ago that a Chicago-area air traffic control center was sabotaged, delaying thousands of flights around the country. After seeing the damage,
Illinois Senator Dick Durbin calls it a charred mess of black cables.
It was an incredible act of sabotage.
Authorities say a contract employee at an air traffic control facility in Aurora used gasoline to spark the fire on September 26th that shut down Chicago's two airports, resulting in the cancellation of thousands of flights. FAA Administrator Michael Huerta hopes to have the center operational by October 13th. More than 10 miles of cables needed to be replaced.
We have all of the equipment in the building now, and all of it is powered up.
As security procedures are reviewed, lawmakers are calling for a more sophisticated backup system. Pam Puso, Fox News Radio.
Pennsylvania authorities believe the survivalist charged with ambushing a rural Pennsylvania state police barracks will soon be desperate for food and supplies. Eric Freen has been on the run for 3 weeks. The hack attack against Chase Bank was massive, but so far there are no reports of anybody losing any money because of it.
It appears as though the hackers could be in Russia. The cyber attack was underway for a month before it was discovered in July, then revealed in August. And of course, here we are now. Prosecuting cyber crimes in Russia can be tricky, and those cyber attackers know it. Security experts say it's very hard to charge hackers in that part of the world, adding that Russia's share of the global cyber crime market has doubled in recent years to $4.5 billion. JP Morgan Chase has told its customers they don't need to change their usernames or passwords still, and that their money is, quote, safe.
Fox's Laura Engel. In the opening game of the National League Division Series, the St. Louis Cardinals beat the L.A. Dodgers 10-9. In the other NLDS game, the San Francisco Giants beat the Washington Nationals 3-2. I'm Steve Knight, Fox News Radio.
Cold front moved across the region last night as it continues to push eastward today off the coast. Improving weather for us. We're starting out cloudy. Still a chance for a few showers here this morning. Clouds will break up and give way to sunshine for us this afternoon. A bit breezy this afternoon. West to northwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Highs in the upper 60s. Clear skies, chilly tonight, 42. Sunny and 63 Sunday. Sunshine, low 70s Monday. I'm Ken Boone at the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This Monday at 6 on WCBM, the latest on Joan Rivers' death and the risk for seniors in outpatient surgery. Hear about this issue on 1-800-LAW-CALL from the attorneys of Shakur, Federico, and Staten, or call 1-800-LAW-CALL now to speak in private.
Set your alarm clock to AM 680 WCBM. Tune your first car radio button to AM 680. Listen at work on WCBM.com. Listen all day and all night to Talk Radio 680 WCBM. The views and opinions you hear on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com are not necessarily those of the owners, management, employees, and advertisers of WCBM. But they should be.
The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC.
Hunters, you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about, say it with me now, fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. That's exactly right, and that's what we're here to talk about today with you. More than glad to take your phone calls today. Wide open show today. No guests. We just decided to wing it, like always. Yeah, no show prep, you know, what's nothing going on, so we'll just chat it up with our listeners, that's for sure. But no, there are some things that are happening. We got some stuff going on in Dorchester County. We've got some interesting stuff that's oh, good grief. Well, wait to hear about it. So, but we do welcome your calls anytime. So, sure, we can talk about my week. Absolutely. We went to the National Hunting and Fishing Day last Saturday at the Associated Gun Clubs in Marriottsville and possibly met some of you folks out there. We had a good time, and we actually had a board of directors meeting right there at the booth in the at National Hunting and Fishing Day. We had made some decisions to accept our bylaws and our articles of incorporation. We hired our lobbyist, Bill Miles, that day. Bill showed up and got to meet everybody, had a good conversation with Bill. We officially launched the Maryland Hunting Coalition Incorporated last Saturday, although it was official, but it was like an official
launch. We did that, and the directors made a motion to name your host the executive director of the coalition. So, and that was not at my direction or anything else. That was just something that they did, and I thought that was very nice of it. So I accepted the accepted the honor with grace and pleasure. So there we are. You're speaking to the executive director of the Maryland Hunting Coalition Incorporated and outdoorsman, radio show owner and host, publisher of Maryland Hunting Quarterly, publisher of Maryland Loves Crabs magazine, and all around nice guy. That would be me. Brian Farlow's our producer today. Brian, have I ever talked to you like I've talked to some of the other producers? You don't recollect. I know. And the other producers know that usually. Oh, well, if you don't listen, well, then who cares? Hello. So let's go from there. Saturday. What did I do Saturday evening? Rested. I did, yes. Sunday, I'm trying to think what I did. Sunday, I took a personal day. Monday, I had a meeting in Washington County, and then went from Washington County to Deep Creek Lake, where I met up with biologist Matt Sell, who's been a guest on this show. We talked primarily about brook trout on the show, but Matt has instituted a tagging program for northern pike on Deep Creek Lake. Also met up with Fisheries Director Tom O'Connell, and we got in Matt's truck and headed to Deep Creek Lake. We got in the boat. We managed to take four northern pike from in the high 20-inch range to the mid 30-inch range. I think we tagged all four of them. If I recall, I know that I have at least two tags in northern pike that I caught, number 16 and number 18. So if you're up there this fall and you catch a tagged northern pike, be sure to call the number on the tag, and maybe you will recapture one of the northern pike that I caught. And I actually somebody. Paul Genovese with the Department of Natural Resources sent me an update on the fishing challenge with the numbers and that type of thing. And he said, nice picture on the fishing report. Tom had taken a picture with Matt's camera of Matt and I holding a two northern pike that we doubled up on. They were, I think mine was 33 or something, and 33 and a half, and his was 35. So we had two nice northerns there held up to the camera, and it actually made it on the fishing report for DNR. Then Tuesday, I got a sneeze. Wow, you didn't need to hear that. Tuesday, we fished again, and thought we had the perfect weather conditions. We wound up catching a couple of pickerel, big chain pickerel in the lake, and Matt missed. Well, we had one northern jump, a big northern jump off right at the boat. So that was Tuesday. Had a meeting in Frostburg Tuesday afternoon after the fishing trip, and then headed back east. Wednesday evening, got together with the folks at the Baltimore County Game and Fish Protective Association, right up there off Harford Road at the gun range. Probably 70 so folks at their membership meeting, which was pretty good, and got to meet a lot of folks. And a lot of folks that are listening today were able to say good evening, and they listened to the show. We want to shout out to those guys and the Baltimore County Game and Fish Protective Association. Their sight-in day for muzzleloader is today, if anybody's interested in doing that, to go to the Baltimore County Fish and Game Protective Association. They're on Northwind Road off Harford Road in Baltimore County. To sight in your muzzleloader, you might want to check the website before you go for times and hours and things like that. So we met with those folks to talk about the Maryland Hunting Coalition. I want to thank Chris Donahue for setting up the computer right there at the club. And anybody who wanted to join, Chris was helping them sign up on the website for the Maryland Hunting Coalition, which was pretty cool. Thursday. The week is a blur, quite frankly. I can't remember Thursday. Friday. Thursday night. I do remember. Thursday night, went to the Baltimore Aquarium, and the Department of Natural Resources was very gracious in offering me a ticket to the Mermaid's Kiss, which is a benefit fundraiser for the Oyster Recovery Partnership, celebrating, I believe, 20 years of oyster recovery here in Maryland, and went and sampled some food and talked to some folks and generally had a good social evening with my friend Donna. And Friday, had a meeting in Carroll County, and then went hunting last night. And you'll soon be up to date. Setting in a tree stand last night. Same stand shot the doe out of a couple weeks ago. And a four-point buck walked in and stood there about 20 minutes, fed. You know, gave me a broadside shot anytime I wanted it. Then a doe walked in. She got spooky. I don't know what happened to her, but the four-point stayed there and fed. The doe took off. And as the evening wore on, deer started funneling out into the soybean field next to me. And, you know, I had shots at 15 to 32 yards on some of the does, and there was a doe and a fawn, and then another big doe, and then another big doe, and then three more does and fawns, and then, you know, back and forth. You know, within 20 yards of me here to, you know, I'm elevated in the ladder stand and I'm looking down on the deer. And, of course, only one doe. I don't know which one it was, but I think it might have been mule head. Caught me in the stand, you know, very alert deer. And she started to walk into the woods towards the bait pile. And I'd been watching to my right. I was watching all these seven or eight deer out in the field and on the road right in front of me. There was a screen of brush that I couldn't quite shoot through, so I was waiting for one of them to walk in, that big one in particular, because it was getting right around sunset. It had, you know, I had 30 minutes of legal shooting time, but it was in the woods. It was a little darker than it was out in the field and on the road there. So I'm watching, and I'm trying to track this deer's activity through my sight plane there through the woods, and I scanned ahead to the bait, and there stood a very nice buck feeding, who had snuck in somehow undetected, which they want to do sometimes. And I'd taken the crossbow last night. The vertical bow was fine, but I took the crossbow because I wanted to try and move undetected in case big mule head showed up. So I hope I'm not boring you, but we're getting almost here to the end. So this deer, and I was, of course, I'm watching the geese and everything else, and the deer standing broadside and took what I thought was a good bead right behind the front shoulder, and shot. Had that unmistakable sound of an arrow going through a body, and the deer took off, and deer blew out everywhere in almost all directions. And I don't know how many there were, but it was a pile of them. So I suspected that the buck had taken a path north of my stand because everything else went south. So I got down and I looked. There's the arrow covered, you know, all the way up to the nock, and knew that it was a hit. So I called my friend. He came up on the gator, and looked at the arrow and said, okay, let's go. And we started walking, found some blood, found more blood, kept walking, found more blood, and then it started to rain. Yep, started to rain. So he said, well, best thing to do right now is to get out of here. And I said, I have to agree with you. As much as I want to keep going, it's you can't blood trail in the rain. And we couldn't. So we backed out, and the search will resume this morning. And we'll let you know the results of that. So we will. So we've got a nice buck probably on the ground in Montgomery County, and hopefully we'll find him this morning and take care of that. But I was very disappointed that that the deer didn't go down right away. I mean, I don't mean instantly, but I do mean within, you know, within 50 to 100 yards. But that's deer hunting, so we'll find that bugger today and see what see exactly what happened from the evidence of the shot. So again, I want to thank the guys in Montgomery County for helping out. And now we welcome your calls here to 410 WCBM 680 or 800 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680 is our phone number. And why not tell you about our friends at Chesapeake Outdoors? If you're headed to the Eastern Shore, make sure you stop right there at Chesapeake Outdoors, not far from the Bay Bridge. It's exit 39B, that's Dominion Road, right on Route 50 there, at Chesapeake Outdoors. For bow hunters, of course, they have crossbows by Mission and Barnett and Carbon Express and Parker and Excalibur and vertical bows by Parker and Matthews. But they also have a full line of muzzleloaders and supply. That season's coming up pretty quick here. And early duck season, if you need a shotgun or ammunition or waterfowl calls, even camo by Under Armour and Drake, they've got all that and a complete selection of fish and tackle, live bait, and crabbing gear, as well as those great Bubba Blade knives. So why not stop by Chesapeake Outdoors, first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. And that's located, again, exit 39B, Route 50 East, right there in Kent Island. Chesapeake Outdoors, 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500.
The statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns. By donating your female deer, you could feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
Hey, the Crisfield Outdoor Expo coming up next Saturday featuring John Godwin. That's the guy with the white beard from A&E's Duck Dynasty is Saturday, October 11th, 2014 at Summers Cove Marina from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. in Crisfield, Maryland. The Crisfield Outdoors Expo is a family-friendly day celebrating the outdoors, hunting, and fishing. There'll be retrievers and duck calling demonstrations and good food, too. Contests include duck picking, bow and arrow contest, decoy retrieving, that's done from a boat, can you believe that, and a Duck Dynasty look-alike contest. What a great place for a show where you can bring your duck boat. Why not do some duck hunting in the morning and then go to the Crisfield Outdoor Expo Saturday, October 11th at Summers Cove Marina. It starts at 10, ends at 7. Visit CrisfieldOutdoorExpo.com or their Facebook page for more.
This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, spray-on bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer, blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner.
liner from Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Now, you can hear 3 hours of The Great One, Mark Levin, weeknights at 7 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We are back. Taking your calls anytime, 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Now, I'd like to – now, you got the rundown on the week there, but I would like to tell you a little bit more about Deep Creek Lake. It was a beautiful, beautiful scene. The trees have started to change. I would say if you go up there this week, you're going to see trees at about peak. The maples were gorgeous. I mean, it was absolutely beautiful scenery. Just get up there and into the mountains and drive around a little bit. It's a great place to, you know, take the whole family. If you just want to get away for a day, there's lots to do and lots to eat. If you want to go for a weekend, take the boat. You can do that as well. There's some public launch ramps up there. I mean, I'd do a little research if I were you. But we launched on the north end of the lake. And fished north and south. We fished McHenry Cove, and we fished a number of places that Matt had patterned some pike. We were fishing different cover than you fish for, let's say, walleyes or smallmouth bass. We were in the heart of the weed beds, and some of the weeds are suspended, you know, 3-4 feet underwater. Grow up to 3-4 feet of the surface of the water. Some grow right up to the surface. We were fishing pretty heavy tackle, 7.5-foot rods and 50 to 80-pound braid line, fishing wire leaders tied onto the braid and then tied onto a pretty good-sized spinnerbait, about an ounce spinnerbait. And that was either I think Matt probably ties them himself. I noticed a fly-tying bench sitting in his house, and I think he ties up the bucktail part of it himself. I fished pretty much a black and yellow spinnerbait the whole time with a black shad on it. And I think we had some white spinnerbaits with silver shad and a little red. And then Matt had some natural hair-looking thing with a – I don't know what he was using. But you just cast over and in the weed beds and retrieve that spinnerbait through there. Keep it moving. You got to keep it moving or it gets covered up with weeds. And depending on the depth, if the weeds are 3 or 4 feet deep, you can slow it down and kind of slow roll that spinnerbait. And if not, you want to kind of burn it over the tops of the weeds. And I'll tell you, if a northern pike hits that spinnerbait, you're going to know it. You're going to know it. You're going to have a fight on your hands. And it was a lot of fun to land a couple as we did. I hadn't caught a northern pike in many, many years. Probably 30 years. The biggest northern I ever caught was only 34 inches in Canada, and I came within a half inch of it at Deep Creek Lake. So we were hoping for a 40-incher. Matt caught one, I believe, 35, but I think he's caught one 39.5 and one 39.25 and then one over 40 inches this year. But those fish are tagged, and we look forward to maybe getting up there later in the year. I mean, it's just starting to get right for the northern pike. But, of course, everybody's attention turns to hunting season this time of year. So, you know, it was nice to have somebody to be able to do some fall fishing with. And Matt was a gracious host and learned more about his passion for duck hunting and deer hunting and everything else. So new baby and the whole deal. And he was able to take time from his busy schedule working for the state to get us out there and fish for northern pike. So, again, thanks to the department, thanks to Matt, thanks to Tom O'Connell. We had a great, great time in Deep Creek. And it's not a bad drive, quite frankly. It's not all that far. I mean, as vacations or getaways go, you know, you can drive to it takes that much time to drive to the lower eastern shore to go deer hunt. So you could go the other way, go to the mountains and enjoy what we have up there. You know, I think we had Alan Klotz on here this summer. He talked about 20 different species of fish. Now, you know, we focused on northern pike, and we focused primarily on northern pike, but there are, you know, this time of year, there's some great smallmouth bass fishing, there's some walleye fishing, there's some perch, big yellow perch. We saw a big giant school yellow perch swim by. Pickerel, if you like pickerel, they're a little easier to catch. We caught a few and had a few of them follow our baits. We caught a couple nice pickerel, you know, 2 foot long, and first drink. Oh, hold on. I got to do that again. Oh, that's good coffee. We had a great time up there. So busy week, productive 2 days in meetings on Monday morning and also Tuesday night up in Frostburg. Very productive. And
we'll tell you more about that next Saturday.
Excuse me, but busy week. So we did also on the October 1st, if any of you received our first newsletter from the Maryland Hunting Coalition, that went out too to all of our members. If you are a member and have Gmail, I want to recommend that you check your attractions. No, not that. Announcements, one of those. Announcements folders on spam. So there you go. Uh-oh. I said Northern Pike, and guess who calls? Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I haven't been able to talk to you for a while. This past summer's been it's been pretty bad with the hospitals.
Yeah.
But I just I do listen to you, even all the times I was in the hospital, and when the morning comes, each time the room was looking to the east, and you see that the sky start to brighten up, and it's that transition time between light and dark, and I miss it so much. But when I heard you talking about northerns, with things coming to the end, it just makes me very sad that I won't be going after them anymore, because that's over 60 years of fishing, and all the places I was able to fish, and that something about that northern, it's just, to me, it's the perfect fish. He's aggressive. He's got that look about him.
He does have that look.
I wanted to ask you again, because it's only happened a half a dozen times in all those years, but have you had them follow that lure in and then just have those few seconds where he's on the surface and he's looking at you, and when he turns to go, he doesn't take off in a shot the way you'll see a sunny.
Yeah, no, he just kind of says, "Eh, I don't want that today."
And he gives you that look, and it's as if he's checked you out and said, "You're not worth my time."
And yeah.
He just turns, and there's almost an insolence in him, though. He turns and just slowly takes himself away. And sometime they'll come back again, but it's just those it's almost a privilege to see him for that time and to give you that look. And the only other fish that has done that kind of thing in salt water is the mako.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes up to the transom and he goes by and he shifts a little bit to the side and you see that mouth he has, and he cruises back and forth and he's looking at you. And it's almost as if he's saying, why don't you come down here and I'll show you what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, whether you'd ever encountered that kind of thing in other fish.
We had, no, never in another fish, no. We had several instances where the pike would follow the bait to the boat and stick around for a few seconds and just annoy you. Matt had one hit at the boat. And I mean at the boat, and that fish took off, and he lost that fish, and it was like, I'll show you, I can still rule the water here, brother. You're just a temporary visitor, you know, one of those deals.
I'm glad you feel that way, because thinking to myself, I must be touched, and I'm attributing human feelings of these, and yet they, the times that they've done it, and there's just a again, there's just something about the look, the shape of that fish, and
well, Matt uses a pretty good sized net to get these fish in, because he leaves the net in the water when he's doing the tagging, so the fish are, you know, basically swimming free to, you know, they're not out of the water and that type of thing. So he reaches into the net, and we had that double. And had two pretty healthy fish in the net, and you look down into that net, and they're like, "Okay, we're going to get you guys when we get out of here." we know each other, and now we know who you are. You know,
it's just a. I'm looking right there. There were two fish in my life that I considered fish of a lifetime.
Yeah,
one was a northern, and one was a mako.
Sure.
When that mako comes out of the water like a rocket, it's just unbelievable that they can do the things they do. But I'm looking at that northern right now on the wall, and it was 46 years ago that I caught it. 46, and it's as if it happened yesterday, and I can remember everything about that, when that, from the time that lure just stopped dead in the water. And it's just a, like a 46 years.
How big is that fish, Kurt?
She was 43 and a half inches.
That's a big fish. That's a over 20-pound fish, absolutely.
And that's the, so they were stocked in Loch Raven in 57.
Right.
So that fish was that fish was 11 years old.
Wow.
And I think about that when they're born, they don't get the protection that a little bass gets when he's born. They're on their own right from the beginning, and they come out ready to get it on right away. But
listen, I was in a bait shop in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, early '80s, and the guy had taken a delivery of minnows, and he kept them in an aquarium, you know, rather than a bait tank of some kind. He kept the little minnows, like the, I don't know, we wouldn't call them bull minnows, but little, I don't even know what to call them, little trout minnows is what they called them in Pennsylvania. He kept them in an aquarium, and there were probably, I don't know, a couple hundred minnows in there. And every now and then, one of the minnows would flip upside down and just kind of, you know, twirl around in a ring and land up on the bottom of the tank. And he said, watch that minnow tank. And I'm watching. All of a sudden, I see this minnow charge another minnow, hit him behind the gills, and that kill that, you know, that trout minnow. He goes, I don't know if they're pike or pickerel, but he said, they're mixed in with those minnows, and they're the same size, and they're killing the minnows.
that's pretty good. That just shows on that fish.
Yeah.
But right there in the beginning.
Yep.
of what he is. But when I look at this fish on the wall, and I think of all that fish went through to get to be that to get to be that size.
Sure.
And still remember when I got her in the bottom of the boat, and I thought, I have to let her go because she's just a hat. But I thought, if I let her go, no one's going to believe I caught a fish that big that I have this. And so there have been many times that I've regretted killing her. But let's say she's on the wall, and I still sit in.
You know what, Kirk? You got 46 years of memory, buddy.
That's what I said, and people. I know a lot of the family. They think I'm touched the way I've.
Yeah, well, you know.
Since I was little, about well, fishing, because no one else can understand that I.
Welcome to the fraternity, brother.
just being there on the water, and
sure.
When you were talking about last night, you were saying it was getting dark, and it's just that. It's that time also where it's between the light and the dark, and it's a special time. And if you don't experience, people don't understand when you're talking about that what it's like. But it's just been a really great party, and that fish is just the thing I regret most. I've never caught a muskie, never caught a muskie. And that's always been I've fished in waters where they were there, but never caught one. Have you ever taken one?
I caught one at High Point Lake 35 years ago that was 15 inches long.
And I think that's been a regret of never taking never taking a muskie, because that's. I don't know too much about them, but just the size that they get to be, whether they act the way their smaller cousin does, I don't know, but just the thought of them and the size that they get to be.
Well, they do, and that's another passion of Matt's is muskie fishing on the Potomac, and I've fished for them with John Mollican up there, and we've never caught one. But that's another trip we're going to plan, is to try to catch a muskie in Maryland on the Potomac River. They're quite abundant up there and pretty good size. So
what size will they get?
Oh, they'll get to 50 inches up there.
Will they?
Oh yeah,
that's the
holy grail right there. 40 on a muskie, 50 on a or 40 on a northern and 50 on a muskie. So.
Because that's I think the world record comes out of Germany. And can't understand why the United States can't have one up there in Minnesota. But just the size that they get to be, it really gives you that makes you.
No, they get 60 pounds. I mean, they get some pretty good size. We had a lake in Pennsylvania called Lake Somerset, where pretty much every year during the spawn, they would catch one or two over 50 inches. And I fish for northern pike with my dad and Lake Glendale, also in Pennsylvania. It's Prince Gallitzin State Park, and they had big northerns in there. But they had brought in Amur pike, AMUR pike from Russia, and they had purebred Amurs. They had Amur northern crossbreds breeds. And of course the tiger muskie is a sterile fish, which is a cross between a northern pike and a muskellunge. And then they have the purebred muskellunge. So, I mean, you know, there's any combinations that you can come up with. They tend to breed with each other rather easily. So, but, the Esox family is, the toothy bunch of ambush feeders that are just voracious predators, and they have it. You're right. I think they all pretty much have that attitude.
I started out with the pike there on the Raystown branch of the Juniata back in the 50s, and when you would take one of the grass pike,
pickerel. Mm-hmm.
They're pretty small, but they'd say they would just fight like anything.
That was my
introduction to them, and it's always been a thing because it's such a special fish. So I want to let you know I do listen to you I look forward to listening to you every Saturday. So,
will you do me a favor?
Sure.
Will you leave your phone number with our producer so I can call you off the air?
Sure.
All right. Why don't we do that?
Okay.
All right. Thank you,
Take
Kirk.
Care.
Appreciate the conversation. Always great. Bye-bye. There he goes. You got him? Okay. Good. We're going to take a little break here, so it's time for me to tell you about a few of our friends. Clyde Sports Shop, I was in there yesterday, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. I mentioned earlier muzzleloader season's coming up, and Clyde's is fully stocked with muzzleloader supplies. They do carry those great Thompson Center Arms. And, you know, if you're looking for a waterfowl firearm, the A5 Browning, back in business, 100,000 round or five-year guarantee. The BPS pump shotgun in 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, and 10-gauge models. And the BPS pump also comes in a 12- and 20-gauge rifle barrel deer model as well. Then there's the Maxis for waterfowl. There's the gold light 10-gauge, the 525 Satori sporting firearm for shotgun sports. That's an over and under. And then, of course, the X-Bolt, extremely accurate bolt-action big game hunting perfection. I do have an A-Bolt bolt-action rifle from Browning and 300 Winchester Magnum. I'm having some shell casings reloaded right now, so I can't wait to shoot that. I don't know if I'll carry that for deer season this year or not, but I've got... I've always had good success with any Browning firearm that I've had, and, you know, Thompson Center right up there at the top of the food chain when it comes to muzzleloaders. So stop by and see Clyde's, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. And don't forget, fishermen, they've got everything you need for fishing and crabbing, including live bait. And the fishing hotline is 247-3474, 247-FISH, FISH for a 24-hour fishing hotline, 242-6108. Is Clyde's regular number, and the website is clydesports.com. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, new location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie, 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800.
Congratulations, Buck Bomb, on your 10th anniversary. Now, Buck Bomb products attract deer and improve your odds. Ambush is an all-season deer scent that comes in a larger can that gives you 33% more Buck Bomb for the same low price. Use it on every hunt. The Cornholer. It's a corn-based attractant that screws into the ground. Deer have to paw and gnaw to get it. It also comes in Sugar Beet Smash. Funny name, serious results. Pathfinder is an invisible spray except to your flashlight. You spray it on trees to mark your trail into your stand. You can't see it in the daylight, so no one can find your favorite spot except you. Deer Domination, an attractant that could be added to feeders, corn, or whatever you're feeding. Deer Domination Ration helps bring more deer to your site. Visit your local Buck Bomb retailer, order online at buckbomb.com, or call 1-866-850-6653. The Buck Bomb blows away traditional scent products. Hunt smart. Increase your odds with the Buck Bomb.
Well, those sick of deer in the marsh in Dorchester County, we're going to talk about what's going on in Dorchester County here in a minute. But you can join professional hunter Bob Folkrod and friends, and lots of friends. We know there's going to be some taxidermists there and some sick of deer experts on Sunday afternoon, October 19th, for Sick of Deer Sunday, S-I-K-A. That's sick of deer. That's what we have here in Maryland, at Bass Pro Shop, Arundel Mills. Now, Bob has taken the largest sick of stag ever filmed by a national television show in Maryland, and you can see it here on Sick of Deer Sunday, the exclusive video. Now, Sika hunters and specialized Sika deer vendors will be on hand to celebrate our exclusive little elk. And someone or two will win a $50 Bass Pro Shop gift card, courtesy of yours truly, the Outdoorsman Radio Show, on Sick of Deer Sunday, October 19th, at Bass Pro Shops at Arundel Mills. Starts at 11. Make sure you're there.
Hunters, you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
The Savage Nation with Michael Savage. Now on for 3 hours, weeknights at 10 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yes, some folks say I'm a simple kind of man. I love the outdoors, eat my beans from a can. I like hunting, fishing, don't care what the tree huggers say. I learn more about life sitting out in the woods or on the banks of a river when the fishing's no good. And if I go home skunked, well, hell, I still had a good day. If I can't go hunting, I'll go fishing. If I can't go fishing, I'll be wishing that I find something fun to do before I call it a day. Yeah, give me my gun, a fishing pole. You might find me down at the fishing hole. I put the line in the water, watch the bobber go floating away.
All right, we're back. Hey, we got Chuck on the line. Excuse me. Let's talk Chuck. Good morning, Chuck. How are you doing, buddy?
Good morning, Alice. Pretty good. How are you?
Good, good. It was good to see you down at down south there when we did that show earlier this summer. So
yes, it was.
And I got your email the other day. I guess you had a pretty successful hunt the other day, huh?
Yeah, I did. Like I said, I was in Kentucky doing the Honorable Hunters of America hunt in Miracle, Kentucky.
Right.
There was four hunters that were drawn for that hunt. And we hunted Friday night, all day Saturday, and Sunday morning. And
you got to hunt on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
How'd that happen? Oh, you were in Kentucky. I forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. And then two of us were lucky enough to harvest a deer. One hunter. Harvested two. He got a buck at 7:30 Friday night, and then got a doe at 7:30 Saturday morning.
Wow, he had a cool 12
hours. 12
hours. Yeah.
And then I was lucky enough to get a doe at 9:30 Sunday morning. So that shot her at 13 yards.
Wow, nice.
So I got to watch her coming straight towards me. It was her and two does, and first doe didn't pay me any mind. I mean, the first fawn didn't pay me any mind. The second fawn was the one that that knew something was wrong.
Right.
But
the first one was probably a button buck. They're pretty stupid at that age.
Yeah. And then because the second one kept looking at me. It kept looking at me in my blind, but it still went by me. And the doe came third, and She got to 13 yards from me. I shot her with my crossbow.
I saw that. I saw that you were successful indeed. Exactly. So tell the listeners a little bit about Physically Challenged Bow Hunters.
Well, it's a nationwide organization. It's purely volunteer, and it works at getting people back in the woods that have a physical challenge.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, the guys can be in a wheelchair, or like myself, have a stroke.
Right.
Guys and girls that have muscular dystrophy or MS or any of those type challenges,
and still like to hunt.
Still like to hunt, yeah. And then I like I told you last year, when I went to the Michigan hunt, there was a guy that hadn't been in the woods since the 1970s. He'd gone blind, and we got him out in the woods for a deer hunt. And unfortunately, he didn't get one. But he's in Indiana this weekend for the Indiana hunt, and hopefully, he'll be lucky enough to get one there.
There you go. Well, that sounds like a great organization, Chuck. And I think you had asked me to consider probably last year, probably the year before, interviewing the president, and we'll do that. I'll make arrangements with you here shortly to do that, and
okay,
and talk to you about that that date you suggested. I'm thinking about taking a weekend off here shortly, and that one coming up on the 19th in early muzzleloader season might just be that Saturday. But if we do, we'll have a pre-recorded show ready to go. I just haven't made that decision yet. So
okay. Well, I thought that weekend might be good because it's during our one of our Ohio hunts.
I got you. Okay. I got you. So you're thinking a live interview during that day.
Yeah.
Ah, right. I see.
But however it works out.
Well, let's see how it works out. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
So. And you know Dayton, the young man that is very impressive down in Southern Maryland?
Yes.
He's in Indiana for the hunt this weekend, too.
Oh, good for him. Good for him.
Last I heard from his mom, he hadn't got one yet. But,
right.
They're still at today to hunt, so we'll see.
Wow. Wow. Well, you guys are doing a great job. And if people want to look up your organization, do you have a website for us?
We have a website. It's under construction, but you can at least get an idea of the things we do. It's the PCBA. Just do a search for Physically Challenged Bow Hunters of America.
Okay, PCBA. Okay.
And we're also on Facebook.
Oh, good. Okay.
Page on Facebook.
All right. Very good. Very good. Chuck, I appreciate you calling in. Congratulations on your harvest there, and we'll look forward to talking to the president of that organization.
Good enough. Yep, I'll talk to you about that.
All right. Thanks, Chuck.
Hey, talk to you later.
See you, buddy. Hey, Chuck. Chuck, leave your name and phone number. I'll take this opportunity to announce that I had a great conversation with the CEO of CVA the other day, and they're supporting us again this year. They're stepping up and giving three Optima, I believe they're V2 models, away, one for October, one for November, and one for December. And as always, all you've got to do is call the Outdoorsman Radio Show. First thing you do is leave your name and phone number with our producer, and then you go on the air and talk to me. That's the requirements. How about that? No entry fee or anything else. You just,
that's good.
Yeah.
I can always use new muzzle.
Absolutely. So stay on the line, and Brian will get your name and number, and you'll be number one on the list.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
Yep. There goes Chuck. Yep. I kind of forgot to announce that earlier in the day, but you know what? We've got plenty of time. We've got plenty of Saturdays between now and the end of the month when we draw the name for the muzzleloader, the great CVA muzzleloader. So when we come on to the next hour, we're going to go to break. We're going to go to a news break. When we come back on, it's Bethany will be our call screener that hour, and if you'd like to talk to a very nice young lady early in the morning, she'll take your calls, and we'll give her a workout here this morning on her first day alone on the job. So, you know, flood the Flood the switchboard with calls at 410-WCBM-680 or 800-WCBM-680. Just be patient, and we'll do that when we come back. When you hear the opening music at the top of the next hour, give us a call for a muzzleloader. I'm Alan Ellis. Now get out, stay safe. The statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns. By donating your female deer, you could feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card.